Chapter 22. Final Flashback. Robert was blissfully blasting his proton pack at a slimy supernatural specter in New York's Penn Station alongside Peter Vecman when he was suddenly shaken out of his dream. Rapidly blinking his eyes, he awoke to find his brother Danny sitting on the edge of his bed and lightly nudging him awake. He was wearing the typical wardrobe emblematic of teenage rebellion, ripped blue jeans and a black t-shirt. "Hey, Rob," he greeted softly. Robert looked like he saw a ghost, and not the one in his dream. "Danny?" he asked in a craggy voice. After rubbing the crust out of his eyes, he turned to his He-Man alarm clock. The molded figurine bust was brandishing a sword with a built-in LCD display on the hilt, indicating that it was only a little past 5 a.m. Fearing the worst, his heart began to race.
"What's going on? Is everything okay?"
"Yeah, everything's fine," Danny reassured his younger brother. "You looked like you were having a pretty intense dream." Robert sat up in his bright orange X-Wing fighter pajamas.
"I was. I was dreaming I was a Ghostbuster."
Danny mildly chuckled so as to not wake their parents, who were still sleeping in their bedroom next door. Pointing to Robert's PJs, he noted,
"I thought you were dreaming of being Luke Skywalker again."
Robert looked down and smiled.
"Nah," he said. "We haven't played Star Wars in a while, so it hasn't really been on my mind."
"Just on your clothes," Danny quipped.
"I guess,"
Robert said, yawning.
"Danny, why'd you wake me up so early? I don't have to get up for school for another 2 hours."
Danny paused for dramatic emphasis and then finally revealed his reason for the early wake-up call.
"Robbie," he began, "I'm going to climb Danger Peak." Robert's eyes lit up like a pinball machine in the dark room. "You are?"
"Yep," Danny proudly beamed.
"That's awesome,"
Robert shouted, lunging forward to hug his brother. But Danny gently held him back, putting a finger to his lips.
"Shh," he warned. "Don't wake up Mom and Dad."
"Why not?"
Robert asked.
"Well," Danny began, "they're not exactly thrilled with the idea. Danger Peak is no bunny slope. Why did you think I was waking you up so early?"
"I don't know,"
Robert slurred, still half asleep.
"You were too excited and couldn't wait for me to wake up to tell me the news?"
Danny didn't answer. He only glanced at the nightstand clock impatiently, as if he couldn't wait to get out of there to climb that mountain. Always hating awkward silences and conversations, even at that young age, Robert blurted out,
"I'm real proud of you, Danny,"
as if he were their father, which spurred its own awkward moment. Danny lifted his biker helmet, which until then had been partly obscured by the other side of the bed, and laid it in his lap. Then he lovingly placed it on top of his brother's smaller head. The larger helmet comically wobbled to and fro, and for a moment, Robert looked like a little boy playing with his parents' oversized clothes.
"Who knows?" Danny asked.
"Maybe one day you'll make me proud and take on Danger Peak yourself."
Robert smiled and held the helmet in place with one hand.
"All right, kid," Danny said while removing the helmet. "I'll see you around."
Danny got up from the bed and headed for the door. But before he could open it, Robert called out to him.
"Danny?"
"Yeah?"
he asked, turning around, his hand still on the doorknob. Robert swallowed hard, afraid to ask the next question. Then, biting his lower lip, he summoned the courage.
"What if you don't make it back?"
Danny simply flashed that famous smile of his.
"Hey,"
he said,
"anything worth doing is worth doing once."
It was a Thursday morning. Robert sat alone at his kitchen table in a dark sport jacket and black slacks, waiting for his parents to arrive. All he could do was stare blankly at the blue wallpaper. He tried not to dwell on the reason for his wait, so he concentrated on insignificant matters like buying a 7-Eleven Slurpee later on. Robert rose from the table to painstakingly count 65 cents of spare change from the dome-shaped ceramic container on the soiled counter with his pointer digit. In that kitchen, he realized that he wasn't just alone for the moment, but would be alone for an extended period of time afterward, perhaps a lifetime.
Just then, he heard a familiar automobile horn softly being tapped outside his house.
Robert left through his front door, turned around to lock it, and carefully stepped into the back seat of his mom's brown Pontiac station wagon, parked in the driveway. Forcing a half-baked smile,
He gave his parents a nod of encouragement. His father was in the driver's seat, and his mother sat beside him, massaging his arm. After a wordless drive to the building, Robert wandered inside while pondering which flavor Slurpee to purchase. He then climbed a nearby set of stairs and entered the packed room. It seemed everyone in the rows of seats was boring their eyes into the base of his skull. His mother held his 12-year-old hand as he curiously approached the coffin at the funeral. Then, after releasing his mother's hand, he silently said goodbye to his brother, lying within the casket. Cherry, he thought. I'll get a cherry Slurpee.